Holy Spirit, touch my lips, open our hearts, and transform our lives. Amen. Amen. Jesus has arrived in Jerusalem in today's gospel passage. Two people described as Greeks, probably Greek Jews, there for the Passover festival, approach the apostle Philip. Sir, they ask, we wish to see Jesus. Perhaps they had heard the shouts coming from the procession into the city. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. I imagine right now everyone wants to see Jesus. It's very likely that the news of Jesus' raising of Lazarus from the dead just a few days ago has reached the ears of many. This is a time when word of miraculous works travels far and wide. The people know of this. They know of many of the signs that Jesus has shown. He's attracting much attention. And this certainly did not escape the officials, their attention. They were over the top with frustration that they could not arrest Jesus right then and there, because of their fear of the crowds who surrounded him. In John, we hear the Pharisees complaining to each other, we can do nothing. He draws the whole world to him. The whole world is following him. So it was no surprise that these Greeks wanted to see Jesus. They knew he was there very near to them. Jesus, the one who cures the sick and raises the dead, he's right around the corner. The one that they are calling the Messiah, the one who would finally lift the hand of empire from their necks. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Well, of course they did. Well, hey, wouldn't you? I believe there are a lot of people in our world today that have a desperate need for a glimpse of hope. They want to know, are you really there, Jesus? Jesus, are you around the corner from where we are right now? Please tell us we haven't missed the parade. Jesus, tell us we are not too late. But the answer that Jesus gives to Philip and Andrew was certainly not the one that they had anticipated. You see, they and all the disciples are becoming very excited about the way that all the people are drawn to Jesus, drawn to the message, drawn to the way that their teacher is teaching them. Their movement is finally taking hold. Their hopes are high. But instead of going to meet with the curious Greeks, Jesus talks about how the hour has come. For Jesus, the approach of the Greek men wanting to see him was a sign that the hour, meaning the crucifixion, the resurrection, and ascension, was indeed coming upon him. Coming upon him was this time when the new covenant of God would be forged through his very own body in the crucifixion, in his own sacrifice. The covenant that Jeremiah talks about today in our readings is about the one in which we will all know equally and fully that the heart of God has been planted in each one of us. In Jesus, we will be one with God. In Christ, we are one with one another. Jesus knows that his followers are just not seeing the plan, even though he has tried to explain it to them. It's God's plan. And so Jesus offers for them this last of his teaching in public. He compares himself to a kernel of wheat, a seed that once it was planted would die in the earth and rise forth as a plentiful harvest. A single grain is nothing in and of itself, but when planted, when broken open, contains the promise of so much more. And so it is with God's plan. Death precedes life, not the other way around. To hold so tightly to life as we understand it would be to squander it. It is by letting go of our own understanding of life that we can enter into it fully. Some who have been around me have noticed that I often wear a symbol of the tree of life. It's on my cross today. It's on my earrings. The tree of life to me is central to my understanding of the way that Christ is in the world. In a tree, the roots go down and draw up their nutrition from the earth. And the branches reach up and draw the light from the sky, the light from the sun to nourish them. This is Christ in us. This is that seed broken open. This is our lives in him. So yes, we wish to see Jesus in so many ways. J.M. Barrie knows much about wishes. In his beloved story, Peter Pan, he wrote, "Dreams do come true only if we wish hard enough. You can have anything in life if you sacrifice everything for it." Jesus challenges any that want to see him. He says, "Come and follow me, and where I am, there my servant, there you will be also." This is quite the invitation and the promise. Would you have accepted it? Knowing what was in store, knowing what we do, what is coming for him. You see, Jesus comes to us to say, come and see, but also come and be. St. Paul teaches us that in our baptism, in that complete immersion in Christ, we surrender our very lives to him. Dying to ourselves represents the rejection of all those forces in the world that would separate us from God. This is what Jesus talks about when he talks about hating your life here. It's about transformation. It's a kind of spiritual emptying that offers us true freedom and the promise of abundant life. In Christ, we become the seed, buried in the rich soil, nurtured and fed, transformed to reflect his image in the world. In our baptismal vows, we commit to nourish our bodies, minds, and souls through learning and prayer and the breaking of bread, to band together in faith and love to encounter the world, to worship and proclaim the good news, to serve Christ and see him, find him in all people, and to strive for peace, justice, and dignity for all of God's creation. These are life-changing promises. These are our instructions for living. These are bold and audacious seeds that are planted in us. And it is only with God's help that we may live them day to day. Have you ever considered that for many people in this world, seeking that glimpse of Jesus, that we may be the only gospel that they see? We may be the only good news that they see in action. People are watching us. People are watching me. People are watching you. They are watching and wishing to see Jesus. So what do we have to offer them? Too often, I think we project an attitude of humility that denies that we have much of anything to say about our faith, much of anything to offer to one seeking Christ. But the fact is, we have everything we need. We have our own relationship with God, our own relationship with Jesus, and we have each other. We have the relationships with each other that are an illustration of our faith. The world is looking to us to see what we do, how we act, who we welcome and who we don't, what we challenge and what we embrace. People are curious to see if our actions match what we say we believe as followers of Jesus. Will others find that glimpse of Jesus in us and through us that they are seeking? Yes, people are watching us. And people are listening to us. What shall we say? Are we joyful in God's love in us? Do our words glorify God? Are we speaking out against the cruel joke told at someone else's expense? Are compliments more plentiful than criticisms in our daily speech? And are we willing to hold our tongues when it is more blessed to be silent? Yes, people are listening to us. Where is it that you see Jesus? Look. There's that woman in the checkout line at the grocery store. And there's that young person with all the tattoos. And wasn't that Jesus in the healing hands of that healthcare worker administering vaccines that was on the news just last night? Do you wish to see Jesus? Well, I suggest that today, when you are home, stop and take a moment and look in the mirror. Let us pray. Creator of us all, as we walk this journey with you toward the revelation of your Son Jesus in glory, make us always seekers of his face. May the real presence of your Son be known to us this day. May we look for him around every corner, find him in every pair of eyes we meet, feel him in every hand we touch, hear him in every voice, see him glorified in all that you have created. Grow us into the plentiful harvest you planted us to be, that we might reflect and radiate the good news in all we say and all we are. In this and in all we do, may we ever glorify you, as we pray always through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.